in defense of language policing. I don't mean it for you to be policed by somebody, because, well, we all know very well that people are trying to police our language. I advocate for you to police your language. For the same actually reason that they do it to you, but they do it to harm you, and I encourage you to do it to correct, to fix, to undo this harm. But you cannot do it without language policing. Look, language is important in the very same sense described by George Orwell. And this is why they police it. And this is why they achieve success by policing your language. They already cut very many meaningful conversation, not ban them, cut them. Like, they already shaped political discussion at large in such a manner that many topics became like physically unspeakable, not because somebody hush you, but because you don't have words to express your thinking on certain topics, you cannot convey them to other people. It is not exactly Sapphire Whorf hypothesis, but something very similar to that. Even though you have your private thoughts and your private feelings all intact, maybe you cannot communicate them, you cannot feel about your private feelings as verifiable. So even though without being 100% Sapphire Whorf idealistically true, the lack of communication on certain topics lowers your own assessment of the validity of these topics in your own mental system, in your own neural networks, lowers the assessment of the validity of these topics because you are unable to correlate your private thoughts with private thoughts of other people on this topic. So they damage your mental processes in this part in which your mental processes depend on communication with other people by language policy. And they damaged it very, very, very deep. Well, not hard, exactly deep. I like this word because it goes very deep. Like, not only communists speak communistic newspeak. Actually, I would argue that the majority of anti-communist memes, anti-communist catchphrases, anti-communist mottos, they carry water to the communist mill. For example, the most important anti-communist meme is "Communism doesn't work." I would like to demonstrate to you that this meme promotes communism as communists would like to promote it. So this meme does not, well, superficially it opposes communism, it is like criticizing communism or even mocking it or denigrating communism, but several levels below that, this superficially anti-communist meme lays foundation for the promotion of future communistic rhetoric, communistic ideology. It lays, it grounds the foundation for communists of the future. Well, no, no, for the communist rhetoric of the future. How? Pay attention. When you say communism doesn't work, you use an undefined term, work. Thus, at first, you leave room for your communist opponents to redefine work in any complementary manner they would like to define them, complementary to themselves. So there is a wiggle room. You leave it for communists. But one level, yet another level below that, by uttering an undefined term work, you appeal to your listeners' intuitive assessment of what could it mean, what could work mean. And with that, you appeal to their intuitive calculation of their personal profits. You say to someone, communism doesn't work, and you trigger a pathway in the brain of the listener to calculate his, listener's, personal profits. He says, he thinks, okay, it doesn't work. Ah, I don't receive from communism what, so the communism does not deliver the promises it made to me. So he calculates his personal gains and he agrees with you, he detects the failure on the part of communism to fulfill the promises, to deliver this personal gains for the listener. So the failure of communism to deliver personal gains is implied in this phrase. And it could seem to be anti-communist saying, anti-communist statement, it failed. But when you imply failure, you also imply intent. So by superficially claiming the failure of communism to deliver goods to your listener, you in turn imply the intent on the part of the communism to deliver those goods to your listener. So while superficially criticizing communism, you at the same time infect your listener with a second order implication, with a second order background idea that somewhere deep inside communism still tried, it failed, yes, it failed very badly, but it tried to do good to your listener. But it never did. It never has. Who told you so? My conjecture is this meme, communism doesn't work, was purposefully planted into so-called nominal conservatives, so-called nominal anti-commies by the commies for the profit of commies and to the detriment of free thinkers and people who, well, working people basically, because communism, it's just another way of exploiting working people, extreme exploitation of working people, like 100% taxation. So It is to the detriment of the working people. So pay attention to the second order implications. What is really, really, really implied by a popular meme that would superficially appear 100% opposite of what it implies? And you need to police your language, you need to monitor actual meanings of the words you utter. You should never buy into colloquial parlance, into habits of colloquial parlance, because colloquial parlance has been already policed, purged, tainted, tailored by certain political actors for certain political gains. So by policing your language, you undo the previously done policing. Because you are not speaking a clean language, you are speaking a language that is no longer clean. It is a language that is tailored to your detriment, so you must police your own language to detect this tailoring and get rid of it, expose it to your vis-a-vis to your partners, in conversational partners, I mean.